The Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, recorded in Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 38. "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop, because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other." These are the words of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, who went through the fires of hell to free you to love him and love one another. Dear brothers and sisters, one of the more intriguing little historical tidbits from the city of New York that stuck into my mind, I might have shared it with some of you in the past, is how the fire departments used to operate way back in the day. We're talking before the Civil War here. Maybe it's hard for us to think about this now, but the United States did not have government-run fire departments until around the time of the Civil War. What did this mean? Well, it meant private fire brigades would come on the scene to put out a fire. They were private enterprises, and if they put out the fire, then the insurance companies paid them money. Today, we love our firefighters, don't we? Yes, we do. And we should. Because we think about how these men and women selflessly will throw their lives in harm's way to save, thinking of others before themselves. With all due respect to firefighters today, that was not always the motive of firefighters back then, in the day of these private fire brigades. What would happen at times? Well, the word would go out that a building was on fire, and you'd have a number of private fire brigades who would all want to get there to put out the fire. Well, yes, but more than that, to get the insurance money after the fire is put out. So runners would be sent with buckets of water, Pastor? With hoses? With ladders? No, with barrels. Barrels? Why? Because if they got there first, they could put the barrel over the hydrant closest to the fire in advance of the engine so that other fire brigades wouldn't see where it is. They could keep it hidden until all the rest of their boys came by. And then they could get it out, and they could be the ones to put out the fire, and they could be the ones to get the glory, and they could be the ones to get the money. Oh, I know what you're asking. Well, what would happen, Pastor, if at times runners would kind of get there at the same time, you know, with each barrel ahead? Well, then you see the gangs in New York. There would be fist fights breaking out upon the firefighters, and at times there are stories of buildings burning to the ground as the private fire brigades are duking it out in the streets to see who gets the right to put out the fire. Oh, just imagine the headlines. The Dale City Fire Department and the Occoquan Fire Department got into a brawl in front of a burning building because each of them wanted the glory of putting it out and the building burned to the ground. That would not read very well. You'd be incensed, right? Why? Because they don't realize the bigger issue. How selfish. You'd let people die. You'd let a building burn, people burn to death, to fight for your own glory, your own money. You need some help. You need some perspective. Well, in the Word of God today, from Mark chapter 9, a fire is raging. Unbelief is running rampant in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, a lot of the Jews were saying, boy, this is just not like the old days. People today just have no respect for God. In fact, my goodness, what kind of government do we have? We had Caesar in charge of the government. We have Herod the Great here locally. And then, oh man, the materialism and the hedonism. I mean, these Romans come up with new ways to sin every day, it seems. There's no sexual morality. Everything seems to be falling apart in society. They have no respect for God and His Word. And they were right, because their day was just like every other day, every other generation under the sun. But this fire of unbelief is raging. Jesus comes into the middle of it to begin to put out the fire and to recruit others to be part of His brigades, to send out runners into the streets with the gospel, to go to towns and villages and nations and say, come, come. We're here to save. We're here to rescue you. But the problem at the beginning of the text today is, well, we have a little bit of a fight, if you call it that, maybe breaking out between a couple of brigades. One of the brigades, known as the disciples of Jesus, the 12 who followed Him, we're all excited because Jesus had been giving them a supernatural ability to drive out demons in His name. But apparently they got to the scene of a demonic fire, so to speak, where someone was possessed, and they got there a little late. The runners didn't get there fast enough, and John, who's noted for running quickly elsewhere in the Bible, said, "We saw a man driving out demons in Your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." See, John's saying, we want the glory for this. We want the heavenly insurance money, so to speak. We want God to pat us on the head, and that's not fair. He's not one of us. He's not part of our brigade. Make him stop. And Jesus says, do not stop him. No one who does a miracle in My name can in the next moment say anything bad about Me, for whoever is not against us is for us. The problem that the disciples had was the same problem we have at times. Their focus got lost on what the real problem was. The real problem was that day by day, minute by minute, moment by moment, more souls were being consumed and sent to the fires of hell. But the disciples' focus was on themselves and the glory that they wanted now. And believe it or not, that can still take place in God's church today. We come before God and we hear in His Word that our greatest problem was the fact that we were going to be separated from Him forever. And the greatest threat to every single person in society today is the fact that if they die without knowing Him, they will be separated from Him forever in the fires of hell. However, day by day, it's easy to lose the enormity of that problem. And so at times, if the devil worms his way in, he can get the church to be so distracted from that mission, from that problem, from that rescue, that we can start to use the church as our own personal pedestal. And we can start to look around and see other people who are gifted in ways that we aren't and say, well, Lord, why am I not gifted like that? I do good things. Or we can look around and see when other people have gotten credit for things we thought we should have gotten more credit for and say, you know what, it's not fair. Why are people praising me the way they should for all that I do? Don't these people know what life would be like if I wasn't here? They should be praising me. or we look around and see others who don't always think the same way that we do, or look the same way that we do, or like all the same things that we do, or maybe even at times disagree with us on some ministry direction of the church that's neither right nor wrong, and we start to see them as the problem. And divisions take place. And instead of one body of Christ, we're like a number of different brigades, all fighting for glory. Pastors can do that too. So those disciples and these disciples need some stern, severe wake-up calls. And Jesus gives that. He brings them and us back to the enormity of the problem. He gives these examples of where our attention should be focused. He says in verse 43, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Ooh, strong words. Now, please do not go home tonight and cut off your hand. Please don't go gouge out your eye. Jesus is using strong language to make a strong point. See, if you did cut out your eyes, that might make you lust at times. You'd still have your brain that would have lustful thoughts. If you cut off your hand, that maybe makes you want to steal. You'd still have greed in your heart. So you could never get it out. So Jesus is making one strong point. You could never get the sin out of your life. But the other point is, look at what your big problem is. You should be so intensely focused on avoiding the fires of hell that anything in this blink of a life, any problem, any concern seems like nothing compared to that problem. You should be so intensely focused on your own spiritual welfare that you don't have a whole lot of energy to self-righteously pick away at your brothers and sisters and get jealous about them or envious about what they are and you're not. Do you realize what God is trying to rescue you from? Now, our hearts always have this problem. In fact, we could never get this selfish, self-directed, self-glory-hogging thing out of us by ourselves. So Jesus had to do something dramatic. He did not go send saints as his fire brigade into the world to live really good lives and maybe we can get some of their good works. That would never have worked. He didn't send a list of rules for us to follow to try to avoid the fires of hell, because we could never do that on ourselves. He came to put out the fire that only he could. He went through the fire of hell for you. He alone suffered for all my self-worship and yours. He alone died on the cross for every time we have been so obsessed with ourselves that we haven't even looked at our neighbor in need. He died for all of that anger, all of that anger that builds up when someone doesn't speak to you the way you thought you should have been spoken to or give you the respect that you deserve. He died for all that hellish, self-absorbed anger. And he went through the fires of hell and came out on the other side, guaranteeing that God will not rain down fire upon you when you die. Guaranteeing that you will never go into that fire, but that you will live forever with him, perfect and cleansed and holy by the blood that he shed for you on the cross. And guaranteeing that you have an eternal escape from the fires of hell, but also an earthly escape from a meaningless life where each day you'd be trying to fulfill your own needs. Oh, what an awful thing. Instead, he's giving you a beautiful life where each day you can forget about yourself and remember His love for you and then go serve someone else, because that's where true freedom is. And then in mercy and grace and love, He takes those disciples there who are bickering and fighting, and He takes us disciples who bicker and fight too, and He says, come. I'm not kicking you out of the brigade. Come, I'm going to send you out once again. I forgive you, I cleanse you, I love you, I readjust your brains and your heart and your eyes, and now I send you off. I send you off to go find a little child among you that you can bring to Jesus, that you can bring to church, that you can bring to Sunday school. Go. I send you off to find someone who is in need that you can help, that you can love, that you can pray for. Go. I send you off. The more I realize that my biggest problem was I was going to be in hell forever, and that Jesus loved me so much that He did that for me and has saved me forever. Then the more I can look at myself in a good way and say, and dear God, You've given me gifts to do too. Thank You. And then I can start to look at others and say, how can I serve them? But if I don't realize that, if I don't realize what I've been saved from, then I'll look to myself and I'll always see what I don't have, and I'll look to others as the threats, the people who are going to take away from me, who are going to take my time and my treasure and my convenience, and I'm going to see them as the problem. And I'm going to have a miserable, awful life. You too. So Jesus cuts through that all. He says, trust me. Trust me that I've saved you. Trust me that I have made you wonderfully, that I've given you exactly the gifts that you have for exactly the mission I want you to do. And then think about that beautiful picture as we go out into the world. Not a bickering little bunch, but a brigade to go put out the fires of hell for other souls. When you look at your gifts, you can rejoice. It's not being arrogant. You can say thank you to God for what you are. Some of you have tremendous gifts of encouragement. Use them. Some of you have tremendous gifts of wisdom and counsel. Some of you have tremendous abilities to use money in ways that glorify God. Do it. Some of you are wonderful athletes. Go make an impact. There's a lot of interest in sports. Who on your team are you going to invite to church? Some of you have the gift of parenting. Some of you have the gift of prayer. But guess what? None of us has all of it. And God did that purposely so we would need Him and we'd need each other. So go. Your biggest problem has been solved. Relax. Go. God has planned out people for you to save and to bring with the life-giving gospel, the water of the gospel, to put out fires. Go. And just as you have been saved from eternity, imagine this incredible thought that one day in heaven, someone might be there, that God personally used you to help guide along their journey of faith to love. Is that not a legacy worth celebrating forever? Go. Put out the fires, because God put them out for you. Amen. May the peace of our God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.